receive our tithes and offerings this morning, we just want to make mention that if you missed it and you didn't get your tax receipt, then see Debbie or Joanne. They'll get it to you. It's that time of year, so if you're missing one, just see them. As I said last week, when it comes to your tax receipt, make sure that you use it in prayer. What do I mean by that? God says that if we'll bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that he'll rebuke the devourer on our behalf. That means that he rebukes the enemy to cause him to keep his hands off of your stuff, off of your family, and so forth. And so in prayer, you know, remind the enemy of his place. Remind him that he's rebuked. Take that tax receipt. If you've been faithful in your tithe and giving, and, you know, your tax receipt will tell you whether you've been faithful or not. You've been faithful in giving, then wave that in front of him and say, Mr. Devil, you're rebuked in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been faithful in this area, and God is helping me in this area. And so we want to make sure that we don't neglect using all these things when it comes to prayer. So why don't you stand with me as we continue our worship time and bringing our tithes and offerings before the Lord this morning. Now, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for your ability working in us. We thank you, Father, that we can count on you, Father, to do the things that you said you would do. You will keep your word. And Father, we thank you that your word declares that we're the head and not the tail, we're above only and not beneath. I thank you, Father, that your word declares that we have more than enough, that you are the one who supplies all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the God way of doing things. And as we bring our tithes and offerings this morning, Lord, we want to present it before you as a worship to you, God. Lord, you know that you have been the one who has granted us these good things that we enjoy in life. And we know that your word tells us that it is you who gives us the ability to get wealth, that you might establish your covenant upon the earth. And so, God, today, we acknowledge your working in our financing by our giving today. And we thank you that you will do what you have declared as we do our part in bringing our tithes and offerings this morning. You rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Therefore, Father God, we have a sense of freedom when it comes to financial matters. We're free. We're free to give. We're free to obey. And we're free to receive. Say this with me, Father. I'm free to give, I'm free to obey, and I'm free to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's continue to worship him with our tithes and offerings this morning. Before you sit down, say this with me. Father, I thank you that your word imparts life to me, that I'm a believer. I believe the word of God. Your word says, although I am in the world, I'm not of this world. I am free from the boundaries that this world has to offer. I receive your word now in the name of Jesus. And in the process, I receive life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. When we speak those words, this is not just an exercise that we do. We actually believe that there's an impartation of life when the word of God is imparted, when the word of God is spoken, because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. Father, I speak over these people once again. I declare that the life of God is in them. I declare that the power of the Holy Spirit resides within each one of them. I declare that they're the head and not the tail, they're above only and not beneath. I declare that they have the favor of God upon them. I declare that the things that are profitable that they put their hand to prospers in the name of Jesus. I declare that healing belongs to them now in the name of Jesus. I declare that healing flows through the words of God and is imparted and produces life in their bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare health, healing, and wholeness to each and every one, and I pray that they might prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I just spoke some things to you that are not of this world, but they're of the kingdom of God. And we want to recognize that there are two kingdoms at play in our lives. We have the kingdom of this world and we have the kingdom of God. And we make a choice every day from which one we function from or which one we operate from, whether it's from the principles of the kingdom of the world or principles of the kingdom of God. And I've found that the kingdom of God is so much better. I found the kingdom of God is so much more to offer than the kingdom of this world. I'm so glad we're not limited to the kingdom of this world. Now, as I've been praying this week and I've been asking the Lord about what to share even today, I believe he has given me a message for you that kind of started off a little bit last week. And I want to go back to a scripture that I spoke about last week a little bit, but I talked about some things concerning the day and age that we live in, the things that are happening around the world, and we want to kind of continue on a little bit that although we are in the world, we're not of the world, and though the world, in one sense, is coming to an end, you and I are not coming to an end. You and I have a great future. If we are found in the kingdom of God, then we can rejoice and be glad because of the future that we have. Because of the great things that you and I have in the days ahead, the great things that we have to enjoy, not only in the days ahead, but even now, if we'll apply our faith to the now, if we'll not only be thinking about the future, but we'll apply our faith to the now, we'll begin to enjoy the now. So last week, we talked a little bit about Jeremiah, and we talked about how he was speaking to the people of God who had fallen away. I believe he was speaking about a time when God was calling his people back to himself. And I believe today we're in a day and age that God is calling his people back to himself, and he's putting the word out there, and it's up to you and I whether we heed the call or not. Now, Jeremiah 2:9 says this, "Therefore, the prophet Jeremiah," really God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, "said, therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges." And the reason why he's bringing charges is because he wants us to recognize any sin or wickedness or lukewarmness that we might have. One translation says, "I plead with my people." I'm letting my people know what kind of situation that they're in. Now, if you were a parent and you had a child and they were doing something wrong, and they were not, you know, they were misbehaving or they're doing something that was going to get them in trouble, what's the first thing that you'd want to do with them? Would you not want to bring them to a place where they would see the difficulty or the sin that they're in and the ramifications of what's going to happen if they continue on that path? Now, wouldn't you as a parent, a good parent, if you're a good parent, you would want to reveal to your children what is going to happen if they continue on that path. So this is what God is doing here in Jeremiah. God is pleading with his people and he's saying, look, if you continue on this path, this is what's going to happen. If you continue on this path, your destruction is ahead for you. So he's pleading with them, help them to see clearly so they'll repent, turn around, change. God always gives us an opportunity to repent. And then down in verse 13 now, he says about his people, he says, "You have committed two evils. Number one, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water." That's the first evil that the God's people did, is that they forsook the fountain of living water. Now, this fountain of living water was a flow of the Holy Spirit coming to his people in order to bring them life and not death. And God is saying to his people, you have forsaken this. You have turned from drinking from the fountain of living water. He declared himself as the fountain of living water. That's the first evil that you've committed. And the second evil that is that you have hewed out or made cisterns that don't hold any water. You've made cisterns for yourself. You've found a source where you're taking your life from that it really doesn't impart life at all. It doesn't really hold any water at all. And he's referring to the world system here, that God's people are not to get their source of life from the world, but they're supposed to get it from him. And as we go to God, we get life, hope, peace, joy, healing, and all the benefits of heaven. But when we go to the world system, we actually say we're going to do it another way. We're going to eke out an existence within the world system and then try to get what we need from that system. God says that's an evil. If we try to work out a life for ourselves within the world system, God calls it an evil. God says, I want you to come to me. I'm the fountain of living water. If you'll come to me, you'll have life and life more abundantly. Didn't Jesus say that? Although the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have it to the full. And he's talking about the God kind of life, life as he has it. A life that can heal anything that you have ever gone through. Any hurt, any pain, any oppression, any betrayal that you have ever gone through. God says, if you'll come to me, the fountain of living water, I will bring you life. And you'll be able to drink of the waters of life and be healed from the pains of life. You see, most of us have gone through some things that no human being was ever meant to go through. No human being was ever meant to experience. And as a result, hurts, pains, wounds have come into our lives. But God says, if you'll come to me, I'm the fountain of life, of living water. If you'll come to me, then you'll be able to be healed of those things. He gives us this. I read recently about a vision that a lady had about the cistern and this fountain of living water. And of course, this fountain of living water is God pouring out his, it was like a fountain, and his spirit was pouring out of the fountain. And the people were all drinking from the water. And life was great, it was enjoyable and so forth. And then through the ages, some people thought, well, what if this water runs out sometimes? What if this water runs out and dries up, the fountain dries up. And so they went and dug a hole, and put some of this water in there. And after a while, the people started drinking out of that hole, out of that water, out of that cistern. And pretty soon, people left the fountain of life, and they were mucking around in this old dead system where the water was even stale. But the people didn't even realize that the water was stale and it had no life, because they've been mucking around in it for so long, they thought it was normal. And most of the world is mucking around in the things, and Christianity is mucking around in things of the world, and they think that's normal, although they're not getting any life from it. God says, come to me. I am the fountain of living water. Now, this is the way the enemy works. He causes us to lean toward things of the world system in a minute way in the beginning. But after a while, we hang around in it so long, we think it's normal. And within this vision, this lady, seeing that generations began to drink out of this old cistern, and they never even thought about going back. But every once in a while, there'd be a revival, and people would go back to drinking out of the fountain of living water. And the process would start all over again. Now, what are you drinking out of today? Where are you getting your nourishment? Do you think if your situation in life is not joy-filled and it's not health, healing, wholeness, and peace? Have you become sad and depressed and that is your normal? Well, that's a normal of this world and not of the kingdom of God. Christian people, their normal ought to be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, you might say, Pastor, well, how do I get to experience this righteousness, peace, and joy? Then one of the greatest ways that we experience righteousness, peace, and joy is not to forget the last part of that verse. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you seek the Holy Spirit, if you honor Him in your life, righteousness, peace, and joy will come like never before. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out or made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, this, I believe, is going to be a state of the world at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is coming again. I want to declare that this morning. I want to speak that out. Jesus is coming again. That's a great hope of every Christian believer, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is one day going to come back riding on a white horse. He's going to break through the eastern sky, and he's going to come with thousands upon thousands of people following after him. And he's going to judge and make war upon the enemies of God in the world today. Now, where are you going to be within all this time? When all these things are happening, the Bible talks about the condition of the church. Now, this is, I'm talking a little bit about the end of days and what's going to happen and tribulation and all that kind of thing. But really, if you'll listen closely, I'm talking about a joyful message here today. I'm not talking about doom and gloom, because I believe there's going to be a people who will be suffer great persecution, all right, and there'll be tribulation before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's also going to be a church that is going to be walking in the mighty power of God. The Holy Spirit is going to be moving within the church, that the church is going to rise up to the place that it is destined to be, that is going to take control over all the systems of this world. And the kingdom of God will be manifested in our midst. The church can't get out of here without it being all that God has called it to be. It really can't. It's going to be a mighty powerhouse. But I believe there's going to be people also that have been wavering within their Christian experience, not honoring God in many ways, and they're going to be caught. And some will come to the place where they'll have to make a decision. Do I want God or not? And the Bible talks about even the elect being deceived, this possible. Let's read just a little bit in Matthew chapter 24 where Jesus talks about the end days. It says, "For nation," chapter 24, verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake." So there's going to be that time of persecution. What did Paul say? He said, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. Although you and I are, you know, if we're born again, we are children of the kingdom, it doesn't guarantee us that we'll never go through persecution or tribulation. God never made that guarantee to any of us. But he did guarantee the outcome. Praise God. He did guarantee an awesome future. Verse 10, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Now I ask you this question. Do you suppose that's talking about Jesus referring this to the end days? Do you suppose that's talking about the world or the church? I believe it's talking about the church. I believe it's talking about the people who call themselves the people of God. It says, many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Not talking about the church, or pardon me, the world, but it's referring to what's happening in the church. There will be many false prophets that will arise. That's why when you're following somebody, when you're looking to somebody, even when somebody who gives you a prophetic word or moves in the gifts of prophecy, you also want to know a little bit about their character, about their integrity. Are there people trying to prophesy something out of your pocket into mine, or are they people who have integrity, people who honor God? You know, we can read about all kinds of people in the past, people who are lacking integrity, who want to use the gift of God for themselves, who want to use the gift of God as a means to profit. I mentioned this book a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was the book written by Damon Shikuri called The Happiest People on Earth. And within that book, he tells a story about a guy they used to hire, an evangelist. I told you he was a man who had operated in the gift of helps. And he used to hire an evangelist to come in and they would evangelize and many people would come to Jesus. He had a wonderful anointing for evangelism. He would begin to speak evangelistically, and when the altar call came, man, there was an anointing that would just draw people to Christ. And many people would get saved. But one day they had this evangelist in and he was using that anointing to bring people to Christ, and some people came and they got saved. There's a number of people got saved. And then what he did was he took the offering baskets and he set it in front of him, and then he started to use that same anointing to get money for himself. He began to use that same gifting, that same anointing, in order to get people to come and give. You see, the giftings and callings of God are powerful, but it takes a man or woman of integrity to use it properly. The gifts of God, the anointings of God, can be misused. And you and I, we need to have enough brains about us, enough discernment to be able to tell what's the real thing and what isn't. People will misuse the gift in order to take advantage for themselves. And this will take place in the last days. And you know, you wonder sometimes, you know, I can turn that television on a lot of times, and a lot of Christian channels, and see a lot of individuals there, and I'm wondering, have we reached that day where there's a lot of people out there who are doing nothing but trying to get money into their pockets or into their ministry? Now, there's some great ones out there. Don't get me wrong. There's some real wonderful, wonderful ministries out there that are doing a powerful and mighty work of God around the world. But there's also the fraud as well. And the body of Christ needs to use some discernment. Then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's a striking, striking impression upon the body of Christ when we think that when we allow lawlessness within the body of Christ, we are allowing in a spirit that causes the love of many to grow cold. Not only for the Lord. You see, when you lose the love of the body of Christ, when you lose the love for one another, you are going down a path that will cause your love to grow cold toward God. Because you cannot declare that you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and have a problem with your brother and sister. There must be, that love for God must be demonstrated on this level. That love that we claim that we have for God must be demonstrated on this level. We must be hooked together and show love one for another. If we'll do that, we'll keep out lawlessness. But when lawlessness comes in, when we decide that things that the Bible speaks about that are against Christian principles, when we allow them to become a part of our lives, we're allowing lawlessness to come in. We're winking our eye at lawlessness. And when we take that attitude, we go about wondering, how come I don't love people the way I ought to, the way the Bible tells us that we should? Well, maybe it's because we've allowed lawlessness to come in. Lawlessness will decrease our love. For God.